Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, and specifically to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. The Psalms are not chapters. The Psalms are Psalms. The word Psalm means song. These were songs that were sung by the children of Israel, and they memorized them, and they quoted them, and they put music to them, and they sung them in worship, and they sung them in their homes, and they were greatly encouraged and strengthened with the words of the Psalms. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 14. And you follow along in your Bible as I read. Verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Now, I want you to go back to verse 21, and there is a little phrase at the end of that verse that stuck out to me about 2 weeks ago as I was reading this psalm, and the little phrase is, "For I wait on thee." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, waiting on God. And I trust it will be a blessing to you. I want you to listen very carefully. It's a little bit different from what we normally do on a Wednesday night. And when I finished this, I thought, well, it's more like a sermon than it is a Bible study. But there is a great little statement that is made by David here. And David said, "For I wait on thee." And you know, we often use that phrase. We often say that. We will encourage others. Well, you know, you need to just wait on the Lord, you know. And that's normally not what they want to hear, but that's what we tell them. And normally we tell them that when we don't have an answer for their problem. So we, you know, you need to just wait on the Lord. But you know, when you get down to it, you can't go wrong waiting on the Lord. And so I want to just share some thoughts with you tonight on the subject of waiting on God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Our Father, thank you for the Word. Oh, my Lord, we never cease to be amazed at this wonderful book. And Father, I pray that you will bless us tonight. Here is David, And Lord, he's pouring out his heart in prayer. And Lord, he's asking you to bless and help him. And he was facing so many things, but yet, Lord, his faith never wavered, and he didn't stagger at the promises of God. Lord, he realized that he just needed to learn to wait upon you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us tonight as we look at this matter of waiting and just think about it. And Lord, may it stir our souls and stir our hearts and give us understanding. And Lord, better equipped us to do the work of the Lord and to stand in the midst of this old troubled world that we live in. And Lord, certainly all of us in here tonight, we have our burdens and we have our concerns. Lord, just like David, and there are things that are on our hearts, just like things that were on his heart. And yet, Lord, he realized that he needed to wait on Thee. And I pray that You will bless us tonight and help us to learn how to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of waiting on God. You know, when you think about it, you'll find many, many verses in your Bible that speak on the subject of waiting on the Lord. God told Isaiah that His ways are not our ways, and we have certainly found that this to be true when we are waiting on God. You know, sometimes the Lord has us wait a little bit. We don't like to do that, but sometimes the Lord has us wait a little bit. We sometimes, you know, we want instant everything, don't we? Let's be honest about it. You know, we want instant satisfaction for every situation that we face in life. But sometimes God's intent is for us to wait on Him. Now, there are lessons to learn in waiting. In the great biblical thought of waiting on the Lord, there are several interwoven strands of meaning. And there's no way I could that I could exhaust the subject tonight. And so as I was thinking about the subject of waiting on the Lord, it occurred to me that if we were to get into the fabric of waiting on the Lord, we would see that it involves several different strands that all weave together and work together to present to us this great matter of waiting on God. What does it mean to wait on the Lord, to wait on God? Now, I dare say that most of us sometimes, somewhere along the way, we went to a friend or we went to someone we had confidence in. We went to our pastor or to our Sunday school teacher, and we unburdened our hearts about a problem or about a need or about a prayer. And our faithful advisor, our great sources of encouragement and comfort, just looked at us and said, "Well, you know, you're just going to have to wait on God." Now, folks, listen, I've been at this a little while, and I know that every time I say that, I can see it in somebody's face. They don't want to wait on the Lord. They have come to me because they want immediate answer. They want me to give them a 1-2-3 formula that's just going to fix it right there. I mean, you know, that's what they want. But there are some things that no matter how badly I want to fix them, or no matter how badly you want them fixed, I can't fix it, and you can't fix it. And the only one who can fix it is the Lord. And the Lord is wanting you to just wait on Him. And, you know, we don't want to do that, though. We just don't want to do that. We want our friends or our pastor or our mentors or our counselor, we want them just to tell us instantly how we can fix whatever problem it is that we have. And when we got this advice from our friend or our pastor, what it did was it caused us to have even more anguish, for it meant that we had to do something that none of us like to do, and that's wait. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I despise waiting. I just don't like to wait. I don't like to wait on anything. I don't like to wait, or I loathe traffic jams. I mean, I ran into one today, and I didn't sit there as long as because I was at the front of the jam. But you know, I was only about 5 or 6 cars behind the accident, and but I had to sit there for about a half an hour today, waiting to get by. And I despise going to appointments. All right. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? I despise going to appointments and being told, "Have a seat, we'll be with you in a little while." You know, I mean, you call the doctor's office and they say, "Okay, we have an opening at 3. And so you go there at 3:10, and they tell you, have a seat, and then 5:15, you get in to see the doctor. Now, I don't know about you, but that grates on me in a tremendous way. And I've never done this, but I'm probably going to do it now that I've thought of doing it. I've never done it, but, you know, somebody probably ought to walk up and say, look, if I wasn't going to get in here until 5:15, why did you make me an appointment for 3 o'clock? You know, but wait. And none of us like to do it. But yet, here is David, and David says, he's listing all these difficulties and all these troubles. Verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. And he just goes on and on and on, talking about all the stress and all the problems and all the heartache that life has thrown his way. And then he says, but, Lord, I'm waiting on thee. I'm waiting on thee. Now, what is involved in waiting upon God? I want to give you four things. I want to give you four threads. I told you a moment ago that in the fabric of waiting, it is made up of different threads all woven together. I want to give you four threads that the matter of waiting involves. And I think you'll see when we get to the end how they work together. In the matter of waiting upon God, we find, first of all, the idea of dependence. We find, first of all, the idea of dependence. As a little child waits upon its mother, for without mother, the baby will certainly die. As an anguished patient waits upon the surgeon, for in the skill of the surgeon is the hope of life. So when one is said to wait on God, there is implied an utter dependence upon God. That is just built into the fabric of waiting. That is that you are saying, God, I can't fix this. I can't do anything about this. Those friends you gave me, they can't fix it. My pastor tried. He can't fix it. So-and-so tried. They can't fix it. I've read all the self-help books. They can't fix it. So, Lord, I'm just going to wait. What are you doing, my friend? You are depending upon the Lord. And by the way, that's where the Lord wants us, depending upon him. Just depending and trusting in him. And so, first, understand that there is a hint in the Bible that this waiting is universal. In Psalm 145 and verse 15, the psalmist tells us, the eyes of all living things wait on thee. It's universal. I mean, everything that God has created waits upon God, whether they realize it or not. That bird that sings and the beast that hunts its prey, all are waiting upon God. They may not realize it. They may not sit and consciously think. As a matter of fact, I know they don't. Sit and consciously think and say, well, I'm just waiting on God to provide dinner tonight. No, they don't consciously think that. But the simple truth of the matter is they are waiting upon God for their existence. But listen, that doesn't bring the thought to full blossom. The thing that brings the thought to full blossom is when the dependence upon God is conscious. When it's conscious. I mean, you see, folks, it is when we realize that we are dependent upon him. It is when we realize that we can't do anything without the Lord, that we can't make it without the Lord, that we can't fix it without the Lord, that we can't handle it without the Lord. Listen, may I remind you, dear friend, that the Apostle Paul told us that God is not going to put any more on you than what you can stand? You say, well, Pastor, I'm at the breaking point. God knows where your breaking point is. He knows exactly where it is. And so this matter of waiting on God, it has the idea of dependence upon God. Lord, I'm depending upon you. And everything on this planet does depend upon the Lord. You see, folks, we need to wait upon God because the simple truth of the matter is we are totally dependent upon Him. I mean, folks, listen, every breath you take is by the goodness and grace of God. In Acts 17, verse 28, the Apostle Paul said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." And it is when we waken to this mysterious certainty that all of a sudden we realize, whoa, I am indeed dependent upon God. And we then hang on Him for our every need. It's when we are conscious of the fact that our every heartbeat is by the grace and goodness of God Almighty. Folks, listen, you would have died years ago if it were not for the goodness of the Lord. In Him, in God, we live and move and have our being. So the idea is that I am trusting in the Lord for every day. And that is when the word wait takes on its fullest meaning. I am depending upon Him. I am waiting upon God for my very existence so that I can live a life that will bring honor and glory to Him. But there's another thread. First of all, I said that the matter of waiting involves the idea of dependence. But secondly, in the matter of waiting, we find the idea of obedience. Obedience. Not only dependence, but also the idea of obedience. You see, folks, think about it, all right? Now, let's just think about it. To wait on is really just another term for service. Right? Let me explain. Let me illustrate. When you go to a restaurant and they take you and set you at a table, the person who serves you when you sit down, the person who is there just to supply your wants, is called a waiter. A waiter. I'm saying that to wait on is really just another term for service. Now, let's say the President of the United States picks up his phone and calls to the kitchen of the White House, and he says, "We're having a staff meeting in here. Can you send some coffee in, please?" Now, the personnel in the kitchen have been hired for one purpose, and that's to serve the President. They've been hired to serve, to obey the request to wait upon the man who hired them. Folks, when we are told in Scripture to wait on God, it doesn't mean that we are to go find us a hole somewhere and crawl in that hole and just do nothing until God does what we want Him to do. That is not what it means to wait on God. Waiting on God is not that we are sitting around in a monastery somewhere, growing a beard and taking vows of silence. To wait means to serve. It means to be obedient and to do what the Lord has told us in the Scriptures. Folks, when we wait on the Lord, we are to be busy, and you're going to be more apt to get your answer that you're looking for when you're serving rather than sitting around moping or feeling sorry for yourself because of the burdens that you have to carry. I mean, when we wait on God when we teach our Sunday school class, we're waiting on God. Folks, listen, it just amazes me. Through the years, I've seen people, "Well, Pastor, I got to give up my Sunday school class." Why? "Well, you know, we're going through some hard times." Well, that's when you need to keep your class. Amen. "Well, Pastor, I need to give up my bus route." Why? "Well, you know, Pastor, my wife's been sick, and, you know, we're just worried, and we've not been getting good reports from the doctor, and I just think that we need to just kind of pull back a little bit." Oh, no, dear friend, you do not wait on God by pulling back. You wait on God by jumping in there and being obedient and waiting upon the Lord. Do His work. We have the idea that we're going to cease all our service while we're waiting on God. No, dear friend, that's not what is built into this matter of waiting. A waiter serves. And while you're waiting on God, serve Him with the whole heart. I mean, just jump in there and give Him all you got. People are dying and going to hell while we are all disobeying God by sitting back and saying, well, spiritual, you know, we're spiritual. I'm waiting on God. No, you're not. You're disobeying God. Now, listen, I told you this was a sermon and not a Bible study. I dare say, if I were to have a show of hands here, let's be honest about it. How many of you have burdens? Raise your hand right now. Huh? Sure you do. I'm going to put both arms up in the air. Yeah, some of you are too. We all have burdens, folks. I mean, when you read what David says right here in this passage of Scripture, you know, to be honest, you when I read this, I dare say that not a one of you said, oh, poor old David. Because you're going through the same stuff he went through. We all have burdens. We all have problems. We all have heartaches. We all have medical matters. We all have financial matters. Every one of us is paying way too much money for gasoline than we should be. I mean, we got problems. And boy, Pastor, hey, let me ask you a question. What if I came in here next Sunday morning and I walked up here and I sat down and Alan led the choir and we had the announcements and we had the special music and then it was my turn, but I just sat right here, face all along, looking down, looking pitiful, looking sorry, looking humble. And you all sit there and go, is he going to preach today or what? And finally Larry leans over and he goes, you're up. Your turn. And I say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm really struggling, you know. It's been a long week. And you don't know what I had to put up with this week. My burdens are just greater than I can number. So I'm waiting on God. You think God would bless that? No, my job is thus saith to declare, thus saith the Lord. I mean, when it comes time for me to do my duty, I'm supposed to do my duty. Burdens or no burdens. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world do you do it? I tell you how you do it. You take your burdens to the Lord and you leave them there and then you go do what you're supposed to do. That's how you do it. I mean, people are dying and going to hell while we are disobeying God. Now, we call it waiting on God. We don't call it disobeying God. We call it waiting on God. But we're not waiting, and we're not serving, and we're not obeying. We're disobeying. Are you listening to me? What does the Lord our God require of us but to obey Him? Folks, listen, God is going to be more apt to speak, and you are going to be in a much better position to hear if you are busy waiting upon God, upon the God that you need to hear from. So woven into the fabric of waiting is, first of all, dependence. Secondly, obedience. But then thirdly, I call to your attention that in the matter of waiting, we find the idea of love. Now, we just got through talking about charity, which is the character of love. You see, in the matter of waiting, another of the interwoven strands that is inevitably present is love. As love is the source of all the highest work, it is also the spring of our best waiting. Can I remind you that Jacob waited 7 years for Rachel, and that those 7 years were but as a few days to him because of the great love that he had in his heart for her? You see, love is one of the greatest motivators for waiting on others. Is it not? Sure it is. Love is what makes a mother get up in the middle of the night when she hears the baby cry. Love is what makes her go day and night when the baby has a fever. She herself may be sick and frail, but she never wearies of waiting on the child. And the secret of it all is her loving heart. Folks, charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Love can wait with a patience all her own. Love can achieve miracles of waiting and endure whatever obstacles stand before it. And that is why if we're going to wait on God, we must first love God. Remember, the Lord Jesus said the greatest of the commandments was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Listen, folks, I want you to think about this. It must have been very hard, very difficult in Old Testament times, in the Old Covenant days, for the common man to wait on God. Think about it. To the common man, God seemed far away. So far away. It was like the clouds and the darkness was always about his throne. But then along came the Lord Jesus. And he gave us a new covenant. We call it the New Testament. He gave us a new covenant. And when the new covenant was given, it was given by revealed grace from our Redeemer. It was given by Jesus himself. And it is within the reach and grasp of all of us. I mean, that's proven just by who's in this room tonight. There are folks here that didn't even graduate from high school. There are folks here that have their earned doctorates. I mean, the gospel was for everybody. That new covenant is for everybody. And the Lord Jesus came and he spent 3.5 years. And he showed us in that 3.5 years that, hey, anybody can come. And he made that clear. I mean, he said, whosoever will may come. Just let anybody come. And that's what happened. People started to come and they're still coming. So what did the Lord teach us? Well, how did he make this plain to us? How did he show us this truth that God was not way off somewhere and the clouds had covered over his throne and man couldn't get to him, man couldn't reach him? How did Jesus change all that for us? Well, can I remind you that one of the sweetest verses he ever gave, John 3:16, Jesus said these words, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. Can I remind you that when he taught that great Sermon on the Mount, he gathered the people around and he said, when you pray, pray in this wise, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Our Father. In other words, folks, Jesus taught us in the new covenant that God is not far off. He's not way out there somewhere. He's not just a concept of the mind, but he is near. He is personal. He is caring. We love him because he first loved us. Folks, he came to where we were, and we love him because he first loved us. And he is approachable. And every man can approach him. Man, I like that. Amen. You know, several times I was driving up the road today and got to thinking about this, thinking about that, or got to thinking about so-and-so. I wondered how Leah Green was doing in her surgery Monday and different ones. And I coming up the road and, oh, Lord, I prayed. Lord, just bless so-and-so. Lord, put your hand on that. Lord, this situation, it needs your blessing. Oh, God, help it. You know, every time God said, "Got that. I heard that. Gotcha. Will do." I don't need a priest to get a hold of God. I am a priest. And so are you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's right. We're a kingdom of priests. So you don't need to, you don't need all that. Folks, many times folks will say to me, Pastor, would you pray with me about so-and-so? And I always say, yes, I will. And I do. I do. And I'm one of these days, I'm going to get real bold and brazen. And I'm going to look them right square in the eye and say, have you prayed about that? I mean, you want me to pray about it, and I will. But let me ask you, you have just as much pull as I do. You have the same Savior that I have. You have the same right of access to the throne that I've got. You know what, folks? I think many a time that we don't talk to the Lord the way we should because we don't love Him like we should. And we need to learn to love the Lord. You say, well, how do you learn to love the Lord, Pastor? Read it. Read it. This church, I preached in Monday and Tuesday night. I've preached there many, many times through the years. I think the first time I preached in that church was, wow, like 1982. I mean, a long time ago. I was a kid and all the old folks were young. Yeah. One of them opened his Bible and he said, you preached here in 82. I said, yeah, I did. He said, right there is what you preached on. He pointed to the verse. I said, I didn't know. I don't remember that. He said, well, you do remember being here, don't you? I said, you wouldn't have remembered if you hadn't have found it in your Bible. We laughed about it. Folks, listen, you know, the more we spend, the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we love Him. And I'm down here at this church, and I see some of those people that for years I've met them, and for years, we come up, shake hands, and they'll embrace me, and they'll say, man, it's good to see you. And they'll stand there, how you been? You know, what's been going on? How's your church doing? How's your family? How's your grandkids? And they'll talk, but then there's other people that I just met them Monday night or Tuesday night for the first time. And I say, are you the speaker? I say, yes, I am. Well, good to have you. Thank you. How long have you been coming to church here? Well, I just got saved 6 months ago. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're here. That's it. These other folks talk my leg off. Why? They know me. We've been together. We've spent time together. Folks, listen. The more time you spend with God, the better you're going to know Him. Our problem is we don't spend time with Him. And He is approachable. It's not difficult to approach Him. We can wait as Jacob waited. We can wait as a mother waits on her child with a service that knows no weariness at all. None at all. Then there's one more thread that goes in the fabric. I said, first of all, that in the matter of waiting, we find the idea of dependence. Secondly, we find the idea of obedience. Thirdly, we find the idea of love. But then in the matter of waiting, fourthly, we find the idea of expectancy. We find the idea of expectancy. Now listen very carefully. Here's a part of waiting that I'm pretty sure most of us have never considered. There are so many areas in life where we have to wait. So many areas. Traffic jams, appointments, lines at restaurants, grocery stores, you name it, we wait. It's just a part of life. Many, many areas in life where we wait and wait and wait. When we wait on the Lord, we can expect that we're going to get an answer. I mean, we can just expect that we're going to get an answer. We don't wait. We don't approach waiting like a dog waiting on his master to come home from work. We don't approach waiting like a criminal waiting the jury's decision, pacing back and forth in anguish. Now apply that to the matter of prayer and see how it illuminates the matter of waiting. To wait on God is not just to pray to God. To wait is to pray with the expectancy that the prayer we offered will be answered. Now, how can we pray with expectancy? I'll tell you how we can pray with expectancy. We've got a book right here that God has given us, and He has filled this book with promises from Himself that when we pray, God hears and answers prayer. And I think many times we pray and then we get up from our knees and go about our duties and then forget what we were praying for. Folks, to wait is to pray and then to expect that God is going to give us the answer. I mean by this, Christian, when you go into the prayer closet, when you go into the closet and get on your knees and pray, make your request be made known unto God, and then come out of the prayer closet and climb the watchtower to look for the answer that's coming. That's waiting on God. Having an expectancy that God will answer. Folks, can I remind you that's how Moses prayed? You've read about him back in Exodus. You've read about him in Deuteronomy. You've read about him in Numbers. Man, he got on his knees and he prayed and he told the Lord what he wanted the Lord to do and how he wanted the Lord to bless. And then he would stop. He said, Lord, let me remind you that just a couple of weeks ago you said, Lord, you told me. And he would tell God what God had told him. He was telling God on God. Yeah. And God is bound by His word, folks. He cannot violate His word. So claim His promises. I mean, waiting on God naturally has the matter of expectancy built into it. Our problem is we live waiting on everything else but God. Would you let that sink into you? We live waiting on everything else but God. We wait on the paycheck. We wait on ourselves. We wait on others, but we don't wait upon the Lord. And Isaiah told us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Folks, the point is, to wait doesn't mean that we sit idly by and do nothing. We do what is our duty, obeying, depending, loving, and expecting God to meet our every need. And that's what it means to wait upon the Lord. I think we in our minds, and I don't know where it's come from other than just the fact that we hadn't thought the thing through, but in our minds, we say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. What that means is you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. If you're waiting on the Lord, I mean, if you're truly waiting, there's first of all a dependence. There's secondly an obedience. There's thirdly the idea of love. And then there's the idea of expectancy. And boy, if you got those four things going, you're waiting on the Lord. And you're going to find God is sufficient. I don't care what burden you're carrying, folks. His shoulders are big enough to carry you and that burden. We just need to wait upon the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Well, our Father, thank you for your word. What a wonderful verse of Scripture that is. Lord, we thank you for giving us tonight some things from it. I pray that you will help us to realize, Lord, our responsibility is to depend upon you and to be obedient and serve and And Lord, not to just sit back and do nothing while we're waiting. But Lord, to wait means to serve and to obey. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to love you more. And then Lord, help us to realize those promises in the Scripture are true. And Lord, you promised to hear and answer. And so Lord, give us an expectant heart. As we pray, we can expect that you're going to work and you're going to answer. So Lord, give us, I pray, a blessing tonight from what we've heard. Lord, I know that many of our folks here tonight are carrying some big problems on their shoulders. And Lord, they're carrying some fears and some anxieties and a lot of stress. And Lord, there's just a lot of things going on all the time. But Father, help us to wait upon you. Help us to wait upon you. And Lord, not to be dependent, not to be serving, not to be loving, not to be expecting that somebody else is going to solve it for us. But that, Lord, you're going to solve our problems and you're going to give us the strength. But Lord, help us to take this and apply it and use it for your honor and your glory. And Lord, give us victories here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.